Hey guys, this is Sam.
And this is Anuel.
And this is Murderous Intentions. So, I gotta tell you something funny.
Okay, what
and happened? I know it's a little bit off topic, but it's just something that happened. So, as you know, I work remotely from home.
Mm-hmm.
So I have documents that I gotta shred, and I can't just throw out because it's confidential documents.
Uh-huh.
So I am getting a little shredder from our beautiful Amazon.
Yes, of course.
So when I plugged it in, as anybody, totally Samantha being a kid, I had to try it out. So I went looking for a document that I could shred. So when I shred it, my dogs decided they were going to bark at the machine.
Oh, Jesus. I thought you were going to tell me you shredded the wrong paper.
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, you?
I didn't know. I didn't even go and think about that now. Thanks a lot.
Okay, the dogs are barking. Okay.
But it was just, and then it's like every time. So basically almost every day I've been shredding the information that I have to shred.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the dogs are barking. So now I've learned I got to do all my shredding around like 4 p.m. So that way I don't really have that many call volumes coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that way if the dogs bark while I'm shredding, no customers are hearing my dogs going crazy over a damn shredder.
Gotcha. Wow.
But it was weird. It was funny because like they don't bark for the vacuum, but they do bark for the shredder.
It depends how loud it is. It's probably bothering their ears, so possibly. I don't know.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. But I just found it very funny, and I figured I would leave that note on.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also here's the other part. So now my kids, especially my young one, he claims it to be his job. So he goes when he gets out of school, he comes straight to my room and says, "Hi, Mom." And he says, can I shred any documents?
Oh, wow.
So he apparently likes to shred.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
But he wanted to empty it out. And I told him he can't empty it out because it has sharp things, and I'm not in the mood to go to the hospital and get stitches put on his kid.
And he's kind of clumsy, so absolutely.
So last week we spoke about Aileen
Wuornos.
That was like, it wasn't heavy, but it has some heftiness to it. One, she was like one of our first female serial killers executed.
Yep.
And then the other thing is just, like, yes, granted, she didn't kill as many as other people have, but she killed six guys. And still to this day, we don't really know exactly what was the reason. We know about one of them.
Yeah.
But the other guys is like, okay, why did you kill the other guys, what was the purpose behind it, so I was left with that cliffhanger in my head.
Know that when they in the jail before they killed her, they thought that the first one was the reason why she started her killing spree.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that had the purpose, the reason, there was a specific reason for it. The other ones, they consider to be traumatic because of what happened to her with everybody raping her and, everybody, but all the people that raped her. So I think she just went crazy on men and started killing.
True. No, I hear that. So this time I'm not going to give you anything that's going to be like, I normally like to do the shockwave to you.
Yes.
And I know this time I really didn't give you any real I didn't tell you any information. Yeah. You only know the girl's name.
Right.
And you just found out the girl's name today.
Right before this podcast, yes.
Okay. Now, this actually takes place in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because the young lady that told me about it, she's also a friend of mine who is from Maine. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I was originally going to invite her to do the podcast with us so that way we can get a Mainer's point of view. I think that's how they would call themselves. I'm not exactly sure.
Me either,
if I'm wrong, she'll correct me. Yeah. I know her. She will. Yeah. But from what I've done of my investigation, and trust me, it was like, what? As a mom, you're going to be like, that was a low blow, Sam. Why are you hitting me like this?
Yeah.
You know, as a parent in general, it's one of those things where it's your worst nightmare. So I'm going to paint a scenario for you just to kind of like get you into where we're going.
Okay.
So you put your baby girl, baby boy, whoever you want to put, think about that, and you put them to bed. Okay?
Yeah.
But then the next morning, they're not in their bed. How freaked out are you going to be?
Yeah, pretty freaked out. Yeah. Absolutely freaked out, actually. Not pretty. Yeah, just freaked the heck out.
You're going to go ballistic, right? Okay. So this has something to do with that.
Okay.
So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Okay.
Okay? So we're going to go to the fact that her name was Ayla Bell Reynolds. And she was born on April 4th, 2010. So she is an Aries. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she was blonde hair, blue eyes, very lovable from what I've heard. She was, how do I put it? She was that toddler that you were like, I get you, Linda.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which if you don't know what that means, it's like, oh, how cute or how adorable.
Yeah.
And she was very, like, everybody saw her in those pictures, which is now like a famous thing with her in the purple sunglasses or her with her pink t-shirt that has the drool stain showing, you know, having a big smile with her little drool teeth.
Oh, okay.
And you can see her beautiful blue eyes and her lovely blonde hair. So she was born on April 4th, like I said, in Waterville, Maine. Her parents' names are Trista Reynolds and Justin DiPietro. Now, they were kind of like friends. I'm not exactly sure if they actually dated, but in Crime Watch, Trista states that they were friends who had a kid together, and then when she informed him that she was pregnant, he tried to deny it until they got a pregnancy test, the paternity test done, and then he said okay. But at first, for the first few months, from what I was understanding, was he was barely there.
Okay.
And so they finally did the paternity test, and they had basically shared custody of her.
So he didn't believe her at all then.
Yeah, he didn't believe that was his kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to butcher him right now because, like I said, I don't know what exactly happened. So I don't know if it was just maybe, you know, he wasn't ready for being a dad at the moment.
It could also have been like a one-time thing and, you know.
Like a friend's try it out one time and.
Right. And then a lot of people think, oh, you can't make babies, one time.
Listen, it only takes one shot.
Right, exactly. Right.
One shot into the fallopian tube. Hit the egg, get inside, and you're done.
Yep. So, but, you know, that's normal kid stuff that they don't believe. You know, like,
yeah.
You know.
No, that is true. So, thing is, Trista decides early on in 2011, she used to have a heroin addiction. Let's just put it out there.
Okay.
But when she became a mom, she was very focused on her child. Now, something occurred in 2011 that started making her feel like she was going to fall back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And her wanting to be a really good mom for Ayla decided the best thing for Ayla is for her to check herself into rehab.
Okay.
So she did this in October 2011. Now she left her daughter in the care of her sister and her mom.
Okay.
Now, somehow, and I'm saying this with my arm swinging around, okay?
Yeah.
Somehow, Justin goes and has it where DHS, which is Department of Health Service, so it's kind of like our child thingy that we have over here.
Yeah. Child Protective Services. Yeah.
He has it where he convinces them that Ayla was supposed to be in his care. Okay, so this lady named Karen Smalls, without investigating the situation,
Oh Lord, I don't like this already.
foregoes with the removal of Ayla from her grandmother and aunt's house.
No investigation.
No investigation.
She's an idiot.
So when the cops came to collect Ayla, Ayla's grandfather says, Trista's not gonna like this. She's gonna be very pissed off with this. You know,
Yeah.
Trista had specific things done. You know, this is meant for her, Trista to get better so she could be a better mom.
Right.
And never saying that Trista was a bad mom, because I think if you notice that you're gonna fall back into that temptation and you seek out treatment, then you are a good mom. No
Oh,
doubt about it, man.
yeah,
I got your back on that.
1,000%. Yeah,
You
you know
know?
what's better for you and your child, so you take the right steps. Yeah, absolutely,
Yeah.
I agree.
So like I said, he found out, and then this Karen Smalls, get this. You ready for this?
I don't
Should I
think
do
I
a
am.
dramatic pause for this?
You should, yes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
She's related to Justin's mom, Phoebe. Mic drop, right? Mic drop on that one.
Isn't that? Oh, you know what?
Yeah, that's a no-no. That's an ethical no-no. Okay? If you are related to someone, you are not supposed to be investigating their issues
I don't know what the le I
because
forgot
it's
what the le
biased.
I forgot what the legal wording is for it, but yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't do
So, but it was done. They removed Ayla and put her into her dad's house. Now, her dad didn't live in an apartment. He didn't live in a big house. He lived on Violet Avenue in a 3-bedroom house, which was all on one floor. One floor. Okay? In this
Trailer.
house,
Trailer.
no, it was a house, but
Okay.
it was like a little small house.
Oh, okay.
It was, you know, one of those houses that you see where it's basically everything's all on the main floor.
Okay.
So you have your basement, which a lot of people don't count that because
Yeah.
that's a basement. And then you got your 3 bedrooms, your kitchen, your dining room,
Oh, okay.
your living room, your bathroom, that kind of scenario. So 1 bedroom belonged to Phoebe, which is his mom, Justin's mom. Then you have Alicia, which is Justin's sister and Alicia's child.
Okay, wait. So Phoebe is the person that this lady Smalls is
Karen's,
related to?
yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So now Alicia is also lives in the house, which is Justin's sister. Okay. But Justin lives in the basement. Was that for?
Oh Lord. So he don't even live on the main floor. He lives in the basement.
Yes.
And he's bringing
His
the
room is the
child.
base. Is in the basement.
And he's bringing the child into basically the basement.
Yes.
Great work. Yeah, great work.
So, how do I put this? Let's get back to the story because
Yeah.
I know right now a lot of people are saying, well, you sound happy about what's going on. It's not. It's just, I'm that type of person when I find something to be disgusting or I find something to be like, how stupid can this be? I had to be like, what are you thinking? You know? Yes, maybe it's probably the New York inside of me. But yeah. Okay. Bear with me, because we're going to go further into this. So you remember I told you that Trista didn't like this idea. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that the Trisha's father said that Trista would not like that idea.
Right.
She's going to be very upset. She's going to be very frustrated. So here's the thing, is that Trista had reasons to believe this and have this opinion, because she felt that in Justin's care, Ayla is not being protected. She's not being cared for in the correct manner as a parent should be. She is, so in one incident, baby Ayla comes to, I guess, visit the family, and she has bruises on her legs. Mm-hmm. So as any parent would, they said, well, what is this? Why does she have bruises on her? His excuse is, well, she was in the ball pit in Chuck E. Cheese's, and another little kid was kicking her. Here's my input on that. I have yet to see a Chuck E. Cheese with a ball pit in it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a lot of Chuck E. Cheese's.
Yes, we have.
Okay? We've done it since my daughter, who's now 14, when she was a baby, she went to a Chuck E. Cheese, mm-hmm. and I've never seen a ball pit. Okay?
I haven't either, right.
So, now here's the thing. Maybe if you've seen a Chuck E. Cheese with a ball pit, please send us a picture or message us saying, yeah, in my town it has one. Let's get that clarified, just to be on the safe side. But even Trista says that in where she lives, there is none. There's not a ball pit in the Chuck E. Cheese. Second of all, as a parent, if I see some little kid kicking my baby, first of all, I'm taking my baby out of that ball pit. Second of all, I'm taking that kid out of that ball pit, and I'm going to tell that kid, bring me to your parents, because this is not going to go unsolved like that.
Right.
You know, there's consequences for kicking my little infant child.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, at that point, she's a toddler. But my toddler, compared to your, you know. So, he brushes it off that, oh, you know, that's what the bruises are for.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like, they're not feeling that because it doesn't make sense.
I don't. Not at all.
So then, other thing is, Trista also finds out that on November 11th, 2011, Ayla has to go to the hospital to get a soft cast put on her arm.
Oh, hell no.
Now, when asked what the French happened, Justin's remark is, well, it was dark, it was rainy, and I was going up the stairs carrying Ayla, and I slipped and landed on her.
Wait, no, no, come on now. If you land on a baby, and it's not going to need a soft, I forgot the word, but.
Soft cast.
It's going to need, one, probably an operation, because a human, you know, like a grown person is going to break some bones.
And especially if you're landing on the stairs, whether it's stairs or concrete, because if you look on the Crime Watch video, they show you, because the sister comes out for a real quick interview, which I should have recorded what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes out, and you can see that it's cement steps leading up to the house.
Yeah.
So that would have gotten, she would have gotten hit on the head, her back would have smashed against the concrete. Then with the added pressure, she would have had a couple of things wrong with her besides just the cast.
Yeah, I mean, the cast is the, yeah, she probably would have had a couple broken bones. Maybe, you know,
So, a lot of people feel that he had to have done something to her arm. But get this. So, if you fall on your child, When would you seek medical attention for your child?
Immediately.
Immediately, right?
Yeah.
You'll get up, be like, oh, shh, you know, and you're gonna go and get back in the car, take your baby to the hospital, get her seen, get her taken care of. You ready for this?
It took them how long?
To the next day.
Okay.
So you're telling me you let your child sit or sleep in pain. If your story is I fell on top of her, then you're telling me you're not a good parent because you let her sleep, you let her spend all that time in pain for what?
Because he didn't want to get in trouble.
Exactly.
There's no other reason for it.
Exactly.
There's no other reason.
So, So Trista wasn't happy with this whole arrangement. She wasn't happy with that whole part. So Trista goes and decides she's gonna do the thing of being try to get more in contact, try to get her daughter back. So she would call, to speak to Ayla. Now get this. I've had three times toddler. And when I say three times toddler, is that three different occasions I had to deal with a toddler. When they're 19 months old, are they ever busy unless the parent's busy?
A toddler, nobody.
No, right?
No.
Whatever they're watching, you can pause it. So she would call and she would get told that baby Ayla was too busy to get on the phone.
Better said, her father didn't want her to speak to her baby.
Now, unfortunately, like, although right now my relationship with my daughter's father is actually better. But back when my daughter was younger, we've gone through this where it was basically his excuse was because I wasn't there and I was only on the phone with her, when she would get off the phone, I would make her cry because she wanted her mommy and she couldn't go to me. So he didn't want communication anymore. So I kind of know in this point how Trista feels because it's like, first of all, who the French are you to say, oh, well, she's too busy? You know, no.
And at least Mika's daddy had a good reason. Like he was trying to protect her, even though he was a dad by two at the same time. Like he didn't want to see his baby cry, but at the same time, now you're getting less time because she cries every time you hang up. So it really was at you, but at the same time try to protect his daughter. Nothing like this
No,
at
this
all.
case it was just basically, so eventually at one point, she goes and she tells him that she wants her back. Right? 'Cause she's getting tired of this. This is becoming annoying, it's becoming frustrating, hard to manage with somebody like this. So she says she wants Ayla back. He tells her, you will never see Ayla again.
No. Oh, Lord.
Then, in between those times, he sends her text messages saying the same thing. You know, she's never going to see Ayla again. She's not going to have her daughter, you know, and so forth. Although I haven't really found any proof of those messages, but a lot of people are. You know, who do investigate this case have said that there has been a lot of the texting of, you know, what went down between them. So because of that and being told she's never gonna see her child again, Trista did what any mom would do, which is on December 15th of 2011, she went and filed for full custody of her daughter.
Right. Anybody would do that. Right.
But Justin didn't know about this.
Well, that's the best way to do it.
Exactly. It's the sneak attack, which is what I did. Being honest, the best thing to do is a sneak attack because when they get that letter, they're like, oh, fudge. Yep. You know?
Yep.
So I agree with her in that part. Right. Yeah, listen, bravo to you, girl.
Yep.
Praise.
Yep.
So on December 16th, the day after she filed, he still doesn't know. He didn't find out until days later about her filing for full custody. Mm-hmm. So like I said, he lived on Violet Avenue. And so Justin tucks Ayla in bed around like 8 p.m. So she was wearing these cute little footsie pajamas. They were, I'm trying to remember. So they were like a green zip up with white polka dots.
Okay.
And they had the embroidered word Daddy's Princess.
Yeah.
Which I always get irritated with those damn things. Because I'm like, where's the mommy princess? Y'all got mommy's baby boy. Y'all got mommy's little man. Where's mommy's little princess?
You answered your own question.
How did I answer my own question? I'm going to be dumb right now.
You answered your own question. Daddy's a little princess, and then mama's a little man. The boys are for the girls, for the mothers, and the girls are for the daddy. That's it. You answered your own question with the question.
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. But that's how it is, though.
Because what about parents like me that is, you know, I'm the main parent. I should be able to have a thing that says mommy's little princess.
You should, yeah. You know? I mean, they should make them, but let me ask you this.
I'm gonna make some onesies that says mommy little princess. Watch.
Okay.
That's gonna be my next thing.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who is Mika always asking for? Daddy.
Yeah.
Who she wants to talk to most? Daddy. So that answers your question again.
But that's because he's not close. He's not close. You know, she sees the other time.
She wants some attraction to him because she's a girl and girls are attached to them, to their daddies. Just like Sammy, in the other case, doesn't stand his stepfather and wants to only deal with you.
Well, no. He loves his stepfather. But, I mean, it's just that he can't get over on his stepfather.
So right. He knows he can't get over on you. Why? Because he's... Because
mama got a soft spot for him.
And he's... what's it called? A mama's boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why.
No, I don't think he's a mama's boy. I think he's just, he's a feminist.
You know what? That didn't fly over. Sorry. No. No.
Okay, he preaches for the woman's choir.
No. No, no, he's a mama's boy.
He respects women.
He does, but he's still a mama's boy. Anyway, back to that stick.
Okay. But, yeah, so he tucks her in. So she was last seen in that outfit. And then... Okay, so Phoebe, his mom, is not home on this day.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure. I know I read where she was at, but I don't remember. Okay. I forgot to mark it down.
Okay.
My bad.
All right.
But she wasn't home. So in the house was Alicia, which is a sister. Mm-hmm. Alicia's child.
Yep.
Justin. Mm-hmm. Ayla.
Ayla. Mm-hmm.
And Justin's girlfriend, Courtney, and her son.
That's not going to be good.
Okay, so now, he says he tucked her in at 8 p.m.
Okay.
His sister, at 10 p.m., went and checked up on her. She was still in the bed.
10 p.m., she was still there. Okay.
Okay. So, now we're going to go and fast forward this a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go to the next morning. We're going to go to December 17th. So, at 8:51, there's a call made by Justin to 911.
At 8 what?
8:51 a.m.
Okay. I heard p.m. Okay.
No, I just got p.m. in my head still.
Okay, sorry.
Because it's just, I'm all about timelines.
Yeah.
And the time frame is funky in my point of view.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he put her to bed at 8 p.m. And then at 10 p.m., his sister walked in, checked, she was still there. And then the next time they come to see her, basically, it's 8:51 a.m.
Now, my thing is, as a parent, I didn't, like, I would put my kids to bed. Then prior to me going to bed, I would just check, and then I would go to bed.
You got it. Yeah, you, anybody would. Even, you know, as much as they say about mothers, fathers do it too. Did you check? I don't know. I don't remember. Let me go check.
Mm-hmm.
And you, before you go to bed, you want to make sure that the baby's there.
Well, even still to this day, like, my boyfriend is not the father to any of my kids, but he raised Sammy since baby, and he still to this day will go and check to make sure my daughter, who's 14, and my boys are in their bed tucked.
Yeah.
You know?
That's normal. So 10 p.m. was the last time that anybody seen her.
But the part that I'm kind of like getting at, which I find it weird, is why did Alicia, 2 hours later, check?
And have the daddy?
Well, not even about if, you know, the daddy or whatever doing it. But why was the last time she was checked at 10 p.m. and she was still asleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
What made you go in there to check to see if she was okay?
Yeah.
Because I know as a parent, once I put my kid to sleep and they're knocked out, that's me time.
Yeah.
I'm going to relax. I'm going to watch my show, you know, and just enjoy a moment.
Right. Without the craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would you go in there at 10 if she was sleeping still?
Yeah, that is suspicious. You haven't finished the story, but I think those bruises came from Justin, is his name?
Yeah.
And she knows it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knows it. So that's why she checked in up on her at 10. I mean, right now, that's the only thing that makes sense, at least to me.
Okay. So he calls 911 and reports that Ayla's not in her bed, and he found the bed empty. So in Maine, they are not allowed to release the recording, so I couldn't get the recording of it. But he does state, like the operator goes and says, it was impossible for her to climb out of her crib. And so he says, no, not hot, not, cannot be.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then she asks, is there any, you know, proof of the fact that somebody could have taken her?
Mm-hmm.
He says he's not sure, you know? So it's like, the thing is like, and then here's the other thing. He didn't say his daughter's name until the operator a while later asked, what's your child's name?
She shouldn't ask, though. She shouldn't need to ask, I should say.
First thing I'm going to say is, my son is missing. My daughter's missing. God forbid. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah, God forbid.
Okay. You know, and I'm like, when they say, well, when was the last time you talked? Like, well, his name is, you know, or her name is, and they were wearing this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I saw them at this time. So he does say at one point that he put her to bed at 8 p.m. And then he asks, she says, well, what was the last time you checked on her? You went and saw her. He says how his sister went. He asks his sister, when was the last time you checked on her?
What?
This is where it's like, what the heck? So the sister says, and you can hear her in the background. She says, 10 p.m. And then a few seconds later, the call drops. So then he calls back and says his phone died and that he's calling from another cell phone. You got something to say?
Yeah, I definitely do. this is ridiculous, first off. If you get up at 8:51, let's say, or 8 o'clock, I know me, and I kind of know you. Your phone is charged as soon as you go to sleep. Am I wrong on that?
My phone is sitting on the charger once I say, okay, I'm done. I'm getting ready for bed.
Right.
That's the first thing that goes. The
first thing, right. Before you even put any part of your body on the bed, the phone is charged first.
Yes.
So, if he's a normal person, which it doesn't sound like, but anyway, his phone should have been charged. What do you mean it dropped because it was dead? Like, that's... They're asking him a question that he didn't have the right answer to, which already made him sound like a dirtbag, because why don't you know the last time you saw your daughter? Or why didn't you check on your daughter before you went to bed?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that is because he was making out with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, there's more scenarios.
I know. I'm ready for it.
So, how do I put this? Okay. So, this is actually becomes like the most intense search and investigation that Maine has ever had. Like, this is the third largest one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So, that's where it's going to be like, OMG, okay? Of how desperate we are to find this little girl.
Yeah.
So, on December 18th, officials searched the... Correct me if I'm wrong about this. It's Mrs. Senlowski. Mrs. Senlowski stream in Waterville, Maine. But unfortunately, there's no results. Well, it's not unfortunate because you don't want to find the baby there. Right. Yeah, you know?
So it's not unfortunate.
So it's not unfortunate.
It's fortunately, yeah.
It's fortunately she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing. Yeah. But then on December 26th, the Waterville Police Chief, Joseph Mancy, he tells reporters that the investigation, he's ruling out the possibility that Ayla was even abducted at all. Like, he's saying, there's no possible way this child was abducted.
Wow.
There's no proof of it.
And how many days later?
So she went missing on the 7th. She was reported missing on the 17th. So on the 26th, which was not even 10 days later.
He jumped to a conclusion, the way it sounds like, anyway.
You think so?
From the information you have given me thus far. 9 days is a lot of days, but I don't know. Keep reading.
But there should have been some kind of sighting.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least shoes, bow tie, you know, like anything that a little girl would wear, ribbons of some sort, you should have found something, yeah. But so, no, I mean, I would have left it at least another day.
Yeah.
You know, that's me, but okay, so he said 9 days she wasn't abducted, okay?
So a group of Waterville businessmen, they decide to make an offer for $30,000 on any information that will lead to Ayla.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, that actually ends up going where there was no claim on the money. There was no information provided.
Oh, wow.
So, just giving you that heads up. So, that money was unclaimed and expired.
Not for nothing. That's a lot of money not to go, you know... For nobody to try to claim, you know, they probably tried, but they couldn't find anything either. But $30,000, that's a lot of money to find something. They didn't say find her, any information on her that will get her, you know, at least a closure in the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then on December 30th, Police at this time say that they are considering the search for Ayla as a criminal investigation.
It sounds like it after all those days, yeah.
And that her disappearance was the result of foul play. Now, you're probably saying, well, why is that?
Okay, so it was a criminal investigation now, right?
Yeah, so okay. Now they're considering that she met foul play.
So someone killed her.
Yes. So on January 28th, 2012. So on January 28th of 2020, I mean of 2012. Wow.
2020, okay.
They do this balloon and bubble vigil for Ayla. So it's the first time since Ayla disappeared that her parents are seen face to face. So this is the same day. Ready for this one?
Okay, I'm ready.
This is the same day police announced blood is found in the putrid house. That's Justin's house.
There was blood in his house.
There's blood in his house. So they found drops of blood on Ayla's crib, on her slippers, in her car seat, in the basement where Justin was sleeping at, on the tongue of his sneaker. They found it by the wall of his bed, basically from the height of the bed. They presumed that the splatter would be the same size as if she was standing on the bed.
Okay.
So now some of the blood splatter has like saliva or vomit content to it, which later on, I didn't record it and I should have. Damn it. His sister says that the blood is due to the little girl having a lactose issue and was vomiting profusely.
She vomits blood?
Now, my thing is, as a parent, automatically, if I see my kid is pooping, peeing, or vomiting blood, I know there's some internal damage.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So you would think, whether it may seem just drop of blood, that drop of blood could be a sign of something more bigger. Mm-hmm. So you would go and get your child seen.
Obviously, yeah.
No. Apparently, no. So, she states that, you know, it was because of the lactose issue, which I never heard of anybody having a lactose issue with and having violent vomiting thing when it comes to baby.
No, because your mother has lactose issue, but she, yeah, no, that's enough.
You know, so then the police believe the individuals in this house are hiding information.
Obviously, yes.
And not giving it completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving forward, May 31st of 2012, Waterville and the state police, not Waterville, Waterville and the state police announced that they don't believe Ayla is alive anymore.
Well, especially with all that blood, I mean, that's an obvious conclusion that somebody killed her.
My opinion, even if it seems like drops of blood, but they're in different areas.
Yeah.
You know, for me, being a toddler, that's enough blood to make me go berserk.
And my thing is, if I heard you correctly, in his shoe tongue?
In the tongue of his shoe, yep.
And on his wall?
On his wall. On the basement floor. In her car seat. Mm. On her little baby slippers. In her crib.
No. Mm. Okay.
So, then on January 2013, police present Trisha with evidence in the case, which eventually she tells the reporters there were larger amounts of blood in and around the DePietro's house. So now we're going from just not only inside, but around the house as well.
Yeah, that sounds suspicious. Yeah.
It does. Then on September 17th, 2013, Trisha releases those details to the press about the evidence that she was shown on January.
Okay.
So everybody's kind of like informed, and basically it kind of like puts the pressure on whoever did something to Ayla.
Right.
Which, unfortunately, the pressure wasn't put hard enough, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So then on the 25th of September of 2013, Trisha confronts Justin and his mother, Phoebe, outside a Portland courthouse where DePietro was appearing for an unrelated charge. Now, he was appearing because he had an assault charge because he supposedly hit Courtney, who was his girlfriend at the time of Ayla's disappearance. Now, I do actually have a little splat that happened between Trisha and Phoebe. And I'm going to play it, and you give me your opinion. Okay?
Go ahead.
So hold on.
You need to see that live and tell us what you did with her.
Wait, hold on. So let me just replay that again.
Ayla's grandmother, and I believe she's alive.
And I am her mother.
Yes, do you need to see her alive and tell us what you did with her?
Now, what do you think about that?
Who was the one that said, tell us what you did with her?
That was Phoebe, the grandmother.
One, the grandmother's role was not higher than the mother's role. Exactly. So I don't understand what the discussion is.
So, thing is, Trisha went there to confront Justin and ask him, where is Ayla? What did he do? What happened? She just wants information on her child.
Obviously, yeah.
She just wants her baby girl back.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Phoebe saying, well, you know, what did you do with her? But instead of standing there, and I wish I could have, we could have done this recording, but you could actually see that part. Instead of her standing there, waiting for the response back, she walks away and turns around. Now, in one of the parts of Crime Watch, they explain, they have a, he's like an analyst of how people speak and how their body motions are. Yeah. And it basically says that she knew she was not going to get an answer. She knew the mother doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah.
So that's why she turned her back, because she knows that there's not going to be a response.
Right. But let me ask you a question. When
sure.
When the little girl, Ayla?
Ayla, yeah.
Yeah, Ayla. When, thank you for the noise, Miss Midnight. Okay, bye. Go. When they called the cops, her father called the cops,
mm-hmm.
She was not at the house.
No.
And now she's talking to Trisha, tell us where, how would she know?
Well, that's the funny part is that, so here's the thing. So Trisha was actually going from one place, passing through Waterville. She never got off the highway into Waterville. She said it'll be nice that when they're returning back, she stops at Waterville to see her daughter.
Right.
On the day that this incident, her daughter went missing. But never did she go into Waterville. So they're trying to put it like, oh yeah, well she was in town on this day. She probably did it. So with the fact that fingers are pointing towards Justin, like, hey, Justin, you need to know something.
Happened in your watch, in your house. Like, there's blood on your shoes, your tongue on your shoes, and on your wall.
Exactly. So one of the things, the scenarios that they painted was that the police told Trisha that they think that what happened was she was murdered there. They wrapped her up in one of the blankets, put her in a tote bag, and disposed of her. I think as a parent, if you're going to come and tell me that and you don't have the evidence to back it up,
no.
Don't tell me it.
Yeah, don't show
you know?
Up. Yeah, just be quiet.
So, October 23rd, 2013, the police searched wooded areas off the Hussey Hill Road in Oakland. And then on May 17th, 2017, Ayla was declared dead by the state of Maine.
Okay, question.
Sure.
She was declared dead. Was there a body?
No. But because of the fact that she went missing in 2011 and still in 2017,
okay,
there's
you.
No,
yeah,
there's
the
no evidence
conclusion.
Of...
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then in December 17, 2018, Trista decides she's going to file a wrongful death suit against Justin.
Yeah.
And in hopes that he will relinquish information of what happened. Now, because of COVID, this became delayed.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's a lot of things.
Because one, so when she filed it, they had to go and find where Justin was. Find out that Justin actually moved to California. So what the law, her lawyer did was put in the newspapers for California, the serve paperwork saying that he, you know, so basically what it does is basically they're saying you're either reading it online or you're reading it somehow, but somehow this information is getting to you. So now you have this amount of time to answer. If not, we're going to continue without you, because now this is a public thing where people have to have told you, yo, look at this.
So they're serving him through the newspaper.
Yes.
That's a gutsy.
Which was, it was underhanded.
Yeah.
But yeah. It got it done. So, he basically, really doesn't give up any information. He stays, you know, to the thing. But come to find out also, the day before she went missing, he put out a life insurance of $10,000 on this little girl.
Oh, fuck no.
Now, his neighbor was the one that recommended him to put this life insurance. And the neighbor says, oh, well, I have a life insurance on my toddler kid, too, you know? But my thing is, even, I don't get why people would put a life insurance on a toddler. You know?
Usually you would put life insurance on yourself for your toddler.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If something happens to you, then your toddler is set.
Yeah.
You know? So a lot of people think, find out that information, well then, you killed your toddler for that money.
Of course.
But it never was, I haven't read any record where the money was released to him.
And he did it the day before?
The day before she went missing.
And enough for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
The little bit I understand about insurance money and all that, it's supposed to take, like if you do it today, it is not valid to give you money until a year later. Like, you can't buy it today, kill somebody, and you get that money.
Yeah.
You're not paying anything towards that insurance, so they don't have nothing to give you.
True.
From the little I know about it.
So then, here's the other fun fact, is that Justin still saying that he believes his daughter's alive. He believes she was kidnapped by somebody they know, but he won't say who. And his thing is, he's not wanting to slander anybody without evidence of it. I'm sorry, but wait. Your child is missing and you're worried about slandering somebody else's name? Instead of, hey, you know, this person I think might have done it. Go check that person out and maybe that'll give us a lead somewhere.
Listen, I would give a laundry list of people that I think had problems with me, my wife, any of my family. They could have done that to get even with it. Even if they had, it was just a one-time thing. They could have done it. A laundry list of all the names I could think of at the top of my head.
Exactly. So, and my thing is, if you love your daughter so much, one, why the hell did you move to L.A.?
That's a big trip. You know, like cross
from
country.
Going from Northeastern all the way to the Pacific.
Yeah.
Like, dude, really? And then, so he was, they found him on, so that's my opinion. Saying. But then here's the other thing is that he was supposed to be doing interviews. But they called him to do the thing to find his opinion. And he starts talking and then he says, can we, you know, reschedule this? So he says, oh, I have to go to work. Okay. She reschedules the reporter reschedules for a later moment. He leaves her hanging.
Yeah.
She calls him and says, hey, what's going on? Oh, okay, let's do it tomorrow, this day. You know, at this time. Blah, blah, blah. He never shows up. Reschedules.
Yep.
Reschedules again.
Yep.
And so finally, she calls him and says, listen, let's answer some questions. Let's get this out there. And he actually uses his child in the past tense. Now, it's not only him that used the child in the past tense. His sister, in that Crime Watch video, also said, oh, he was a good father, and he loved her. He still loves her.
No.
So my thing is, why are we using her in past tense if your belief is that she's still alive?
Mm-hmm. Because the truth comes out in your words, even though you're trying to lie. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no other conclusion than he did it. It was in his walls and his shoes. And not for nothing, the grandma looks guilty as shit right now. Mm-hmm. Like, the day she went missing, you're not home. So, you know something, and you just want to be there because you know you're not a good liar. Like, yeah. Your son and your daughter are. Or you didn't, you're trying not to, again, not get caught up in the lie, so you're not even at the house.
True.
Grandma looks very suspicious as well, but I think he did it.
My opinion is he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably called his mom. She mm-hmm. probably wasn't home, but called his mom, as any kid would do.
Yep.
And his mom said, get rid of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The sister probably has some hand in it too, which I think that's disgusting, you know? You have a kid. Why would you not report this? I don't care if it's your brother.
Yeah, no. It doesn't matter.
Your brother is not that important compared to a baby's life.
Yeah, because I also think that he could have killed her mm-hmm. and the sister dished the body.
Could be.
You know what I'm saying? Because they both had something to do with it because they were in the house at the same, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
She checked on the baby. So she knew that something was going on before that. All those injuries that she had, she knew about it.
Yeah.
If she didn't cause them herself, because you could.
True.
You know.
So at the end of the day, this door, this case is actually still open. It's unsolved.
Wow.
They're still to this day looking to find any kind of information that will lead to Ayla, whether it's her in human form or her in deceased form.
Yeah.
You know, anything is right now better than nothing.
And the person I feel sorry for the most is the mother. She has no closure. She don't have a body to bury.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
So hopefully next week's case is not a sad one as this one. I can't say because I'm not in charge of next week's case.
I don't think it's going to be as horrific as this one, but it's not a good one either.
But so if you guys want to reach out to us for us to cover a case that was in your town or a case that you would like to hear, please email us at murderousintention21@gmail.com or go to our Instagram, murderous_intention_21.
murderous_intentions_podcast.
Okay.
Or Twitter.
Or Twitter, which is MITRUCICRI podcast, which is MI True Crime Podcast. Anything else from that? Just please let us know if you want to, you guys want us to work on or a case you guys want to hear.
Thank you for your friend that sent us this one. Yes. Because this was a good one.
Thank you, Nicole, for that. Definitely a shout out to you, girl. Also, thank you all the listeners. Yes. And hope you guys continue working with us and listening to our podcast as we progress and we try to get better in this.
Yes, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. See you next week.